Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still
Say by Shout Even Shy. Bridget, thank you for taking a poem of mine and making it a song. Welcome back, my friends. We're to the show where we pretend. See what I did? Added you guys too. I'm Jay Hatter, your host on Hatter Day Saturday. With me is co-host AP Taylor from Australia. How are you, AP?
Yeah, good, thanks, Hatter. How are you?
Good. I'm okay. Doing fine. And also my little sister, my friend, the boss, Deborah Lee. She sits in the back, does all the heavy lifting, so we can sit out here and look pretty. But I think tonight we'll let her come out here with us. What do you think, AP?
Oh, gee, thanks.
Yeah.
I was saying before we started that I'm very excited. Because I am going to teppanyaki tonight.
Oh, I thought it was something to eat. Where is that?
It is. It is.
Oh.
Teppanyaki is something to eat.
Okay.
Yes. It's basically a Japanese cuisine that grabs this incredibly hot plate, like a steel plate, right? So it heats it up with gas till it's ridiculously hot. And then it cooks it. The chef cooks the stuff in front of you, and just to make it more fun, when they're finished cooking it, they'll sort of like jump it at you, so you have to catch it in the bowl. Which is kind of fun if it's not eggs, you know, and the eggs sort of bust off. You know, that's a little bit less fun. But, you know, you catch bowls and they'll, you know, do the bits of, you know, bits of rice and they'll throw it towards you and you catch it in a bowl. If you miss it, well, it goes all over you. And that's part of the fun of it. there's a, you know, incentive to catch it because if you don't, you miss. The thing about this is there's a lot of meat, Hatter, just between you and me. So big lumps of beef and prawns and scallops and, you know, all this stuff. And it's so hot. They put a scallop on top of it and this thing's literally jumping because it's so hot, you know. My smallest child, Ava, being a meat fiend, absolutely loves teppanyaki. She loves the whole bit of it. From the start to the end, she just is, you know, laughing the whole way. So she is very much looking forward to going to teppanyaki tonight. So I had a very small lunch.
Are these the chefs that do have the knives and they do the tricks with the eggs and all this kind of stuff?
Yeah, they're sharp knives, and yes, do the whole thing. Yeah. They're the whole performance. Yes.
Do they allow you to videotape it?
I'm not sure. I've never asked. I imagine they would if you ask nicely.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Yeah, that sounds interesting.
No, it's good fun. It's not cheap, you know, because they're cooking for only four or five people and they're doing it all over in the space of about an hour and a bit. But there's just lots of meat involved, and meat's not cheap these days, Hatter. You've probably seen.
Sounds interesting.
Good fun.
Hopping scallops. That's good.
Jumping scallops. Yeah, well, absolutely. They're literally jumping off the grill.
Yeah. I love scallops.
It's like they're dancing because it's so hot.
Yeah. So that's after the show? You're going?
Yes. So I've had my very, because of course it's Sunday lunchtime here or just after. So I've gone down and had my very light, very sort of, you know, not very much lunch so that I've got, I'm ridiculously hungry for when all this meat comes at me tonight. Even then, I'll give half of it away to Ava.
I remember the last time I skipped lunch because I wanted to be really hungry for this wedding reception. A good friend of mine, sister was getting married. So her dad, who was pure Mexican, he put on this big wing ding. It was so hot, I couldn't eat any of it.
Oh, no. That's no bloody good.
I was starving, Dad. I was starving. I go, there got to be a table to have the kids eat off of. They can't take this stuff.
Fortunately, it's not too hot here. Oh, that's horrible. That's not going to happen here. It's not too hot.
They taught me not to do that. Tonight,
It's gonna be.
I got to pick the prompt, and it was critters.
You picked
right,
critters
about critters. Yep. In any inspiration that comes to you, and we also have the collab picture that Deborah gives you and I, and we write down 12 lines that we don't talk about it. We don't share the lines. We give it to her. She pieces them together to form beautiful poetry.
Yes.
Somewhat
scarily.
Yeah. Yes. Scores really high sometimes on the poetry. Yeah.
And so I didn't aim at high stratospheric writing heights with my poem this week, Hatter. I just went, you know, I went for the simple, straightforward approach.
Okay.
I don't know how you went, but I just sort of, you know, was sitting in the plane from Sydney and I thought, shit, I better write something. We've got a program on in a few days. I better actually write.
Everybody say hi to Joy.
Hi, Joy.
How are you, everybody?
Joy.
I was kicking off.
I was making sure you caught about
the client. And that's what I was talking about, I was making sure you were okay.
I told her.
You've got to beat that guy.
She says, oh, well, that was sweet.
It was.
You giving warnings about a quarterback?
It was self justification, Hatter, because I need Joy to beat that person.
Well, we don't want her to play Josh Allen anyway.
Well, no. Josh Allen's fine. He's been really good. He just not very well.
Oh,
that's
hell yeah.
All. He's Anyway, I'm not
well,
very well.
They
Josh
they
Allen
won't.
Is probably better than 99% of the quarterbacks that are in the league, and I'll eat better than any of mine.
Yeah, they won't announce anything until the game time, whether they're playing them or not. They don't want to give the defense any.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we'll just see. He'll play. I'm somewhat confident. Yeah, I'm somewhat confident, Joy. I'm not 100% confident. I'm somewhat confident.
Well, we are a poetry group.
We do fantasy football.
From allpoetry.com. We are a group inside allpoetry.com. It's free to join. You can find our group in the groups tab inside the site, allpoetry.com. It's ATOV, a team of voices. Knock on the door. Deborah will let you in. It's free to join.
Yep.
And then you can get the links to the pieces that we'll be reading, so you can follow along as
Correct.
We read them. So it all works out really well.
So Hatter,
yeah, I'm excited.
How did you go with Critters?
Yeah.
How did you go with Critters?
What's that?
What was your sense of Critters? You chose the word. So how was your journey with your poem?
Sort of a Gremlins type of thing.
Okay.
Beware the critters.
Okay.
Type of thing.
I went with the soft.
It would be interesting. How did you do, Deb?
Well, I didn't bring mine because we have four left over from last night and the collab and a couple on the board. I figured, you know, we had plenty because I can only stay an hour as well. There's four. Two of them have recordings, and two need readers.
Yeah.
I figured I'd read for Angel, and AP could read for the Marksman, and then the other two are recordings, and then we could jump into the Critter poems. Does that work?
Okay.
Yep.
We can do that.
It works.
We can do that. Cool. You want me to throw the Marksman poem up first, Deb?
Sure.
Let's do that. Hold on. Okay. Here we go. This is Peacocks and Posers by the Marksman, and goes a little bit like this. I ain't gonna lie. Fake nails, fake hair, fake tan, fake boobs, the eyebrows, and oh, well, those two. Shaved chest, pumped and preened just the best, strutting like a peacock, so much better than the rest. Fake people, keeping it real, how do they feel? Hyped up on social media, couldn't be needier. Don't ask me why, I ain't going to lie. The thin veneer, that protective cloak when no one's around becomes a joke. Is it about what others think or how you feel? Be true to yourself and keep it real. It's not all about looks. It shouldn't be life's goal. Forget the plastic personality. Try to develop a role. So less of the attitude and being crude. Put some clothes on. Stop being lewd. There's no need to prove that you're tough enough is enough of this fake stuff. If you can't keep it real, if you don't even try, it's no big deal. But don't ask me why, because I ain't going to lie.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. It gives... certain weapons to people that normally wouldn't confront or be mean to other people.
Yeah.
It's dark side of the socializing of the internet. It's very dangerous, and hopefully everybody will get a clue of what it is and how to how to take care of that, you know. This is very good. Really told the story. What do you think, AP?
Oh, it was fun. I mean, it was absolutely telling a story, but then it had some very neat little internal rhymes there too, that there's no need to prove that you're tough enough is enough of this fake stuff is very much fun. I like that a lot. Very cool.
Yeah, his name is escaping me, but he called in on a Hatter Hump Day and to read his piece, and he was talking about trolls on the internet.
Yes.
Yeah, that's basically what he was talking.
Anyway.
Yes.
Well, it's the same. I'm just making a comparison. It's the same kind of thing that he's talking about. What did you think, Deb?
I thought it was really cool, and I like not only the flow he had going on, which seemed like it made it an easy read because it flowed so well. But I like the message inside the lines as well. I'm trying to find the one spot specifically, but you know you never can when you're fake people keeping it real, hyped up on social media, couldn't be neater. That's not it, though. I mean, it's really, really cool, but it was like, okay, here it is. Is it about what others think or how you feel? Be true to yourself and keep it real. And I think that that's a really powerful message because, it's too much work to try and keep up with trying to make everybody in the world happy. And at the end, you're never happy. So I those two sentences right there, I think, are very profound.
Yeah, the trolls, the scourge of the internet, the ones that just want to be mean to be mean, generally are not the type that would stand in front of you and do anything. Is the way I see it. It's a problem. Hopefully the dark side of the internet won't overtake generations behind us. True possibility. Okay, let's load another one.
Okay, well, I think we get Deb to go next, and maybe with Heavenly Angels one, Deb.
Sounds like a plan. Okay, so I am grabbing that right now. And here I come with it. And
she's there now.
Right.
Got it.
Now. And good timing. I see Crystal on the board. Okay, here we go. This one is called The Way You Are With Me by Heavenly Angel. Here we go. Darling, you have a way with me. A bright future is what I see. Together we will always be. My love, I just adore you so. One mind, one heart, one spirit grows. You've shown me just what love's made of. Of you, I can't get enough. You are my gift from up above. My heart is so full to overflow. You sweet love sets my heart aglow. In you, I found my heart's true home, never again to be alone. Your love I accept as my own. We'll share this love eternally. Darling, you have a way with me. End poem.
Yeah, repeating the first line at the last, I always like that. Hallmark, it's a warm fuzzy. Beautifully done. AP?
Yeah, look, the thing about this is, Hatter, if you have a look, this has got, 43 likes. Yeah, it's been read 800 times. Yes, it's been on the front page, which is fantastic, but it's got 43 likes. And so, basically, more than one person in 20 who's read this is like this, which is fantastic, you know. And why is that? Yeah, and to me, the reason is because it's just a lovely, not simple, but a lovely dedication and heartfelt And you can feel that in the words, and that's why people are attracted to it.
Yeah, all hers are like this. It's just, they're beautiful. They need to be on calendar or different pages of every month of the calendar. Maybe we should do that.
Yeah, it's lovely. Calendar. It's a lovely poem. Lovely poem.
Yeah,
we can do a calendar. But anyway,
yeah,
we can talk about that later.
I think it's very beautifully romantic, and I agree with the start and finish, the same line, the darling, you have a way with me. I think it's sort of like it comes full circle. She says it, she explains why, and then she tops it off with it again, sort of driving it home there. And you could just feel the love and romance oozing as I was reading along for her. And I was going to note that, too. I mean, look at all the people that chimed in to because we could all relate at one time or another to that the tenderness that she has flowing through here. And it's got a couple awards already, and it's been a front-page pick. So congrats. Great show.
I think it's because the twisted, dark minds of most of us, we can't write like this.
Probably right.
No.
I mean, it takes a certain degree of romantic love to actually be able to write like that, Hatter, and I think everybody looks and goes, oh, wish I had that.
I think you're all twisted.
There you go. Well,
yeah.
Hatter, I have a third poem that I've put up on the board, which is not twisted at all. This is from Laughing Sox, who from again, from the show from Friday, and she sent us a SoundCloud, so I was going to play that if that's okay.
Yeah, shit. Let's do it.
Okay, here we go.
A Bard's Even Song, poem by Laughing Soul. Bechance a celebration mystical, afloat or cobalt river, lantern or verses lit with hope, a humble offering to the giver. Carries a baruch boat across ocean of mist, chant strung on spiritual rope, dancing in bliss, knowing not what shall betide morrow, seek unbinding the soul forever, a bard's even song. And boom.
Wow. That last line of the first stanza, a humble offering to the giver.
Mm.
The giver of, like the ocean, like the ocean, the rivers giving them substance. Mother Nature,
now,
I guess. Because look at the picture.
Yes, I know, I'm just looking.
Yeah, it's like they're offering to the goddess of the river or something.
And I'm thinking it's probably an offering to the god in the Hindu religion. I could be wrong, Laughing Soul, so please correct me. But I suspect it's the offering of light, is that picture. And there's five different offerings that you make in Hinduism, and light is one. And so I'm thinking that's the offering of light, Hatter.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, I think that when she shares these beautifully tranquil poems, that they go so well with her voice that we just get pulled in. Behance a celebration, mystical, afloat. I mean, the picture is beautiful. The words are beautiful. And at the end, that last stanza there, knowing not what shall betide morrow, seek unbinding the soul forever, a bard's even song. It's just gentle and it lulls you like her voice does, like I said. And I was just looking over here also. This has got three awards from three different contests already. I think that it was a beautiful share, and thank you for sending it in, doll.
copies.
Yeah, thank you very much. Man. So, think tank.
Sorry.
We need to pump out some poetry calendars.
Could we do the heart first? Tank, head up.
I'll say that again.
Can we do Phil the Poet, who's the one more left over from the show yesterday,
and
then we'll do Pink Tank?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yep. Keep it up.
Okay.
Yep. Keep it coming.
Because we have a SoundCloud for Phil, so I'm just going to play that, and I've put Phil's poem up on the board. So let's
this is a poem by Phil the Poet called Galactic Alphabet. Alternating asteroids align in space, blasting black holes with a burning embrace, colliding with conscious cosmic creation, deterrent of dangerous duplex realization. Everlasting endlessness eclipses life, far, far away from foreign futile strife. Galaxy getaway, guarding galactic hope in human hearts remains static. Intense heat of an intellectual icicle, jumping jaggedly a jamming cycle. Kissing lips of kaleidoscopic knaves, levitating a legion of lost lonely slaves. Mounting mountainous moons rotating, nothing but neutrons narrowly vibrating. Orbits orange, oblong orb of stale, planetary pungent pus that will prevail. Quietly whispering quantum quartz thoughts, radiating rays rapidly ruining astronauts. Solar system silently suffering soul rendering, thoughts of trillion tepid stars surrendering, under ultraviolet universal ugliness that trace, violet vocational void of victimless space. Wandering stars whistling past wastelands as xenophobic x-rays destroy alien with helium gas. Yearning for youthful yonder universe, zooming tirade of zesty zeitgeist reversed. End poem.
So that's an ABC poem. A's all the way through Z. Yeah. Interesting. I never heard of one before. Gone Girl Contest. That's pretty interesting.
Tongue twister, Hatter. Some of those lines.
I was going to say that's a handheld word bank.
Yeah. Just glad Phil read it, just quietly. So did it beautifully, cleanly too. Didn't slip into any of the alliteration. So great read, Phil. Don't know how many times you've practiced to get that done, but impressive.
You know, and I noticed that he sped up the pace on this one, which was deservingly so. I think it needed to be read a little quicker. So good job.
Yeah, that was clever.
I say wow. I'm looking A, B, C, D, E, F, and I'm like, okay, alphabetic. This is like, I'm sure, not easy to write. Definitely not easy to read because there was a lot of tongue twisting going on in those alliterations. But yet, his pronunciations and stuff are so beautiful that it didn't seem like, you know, he had any kind of struggle at all. It was just clear all the way through. And I'm looking at some of these lines. I can't even imagine. I don't think I've ever tried one of these. But the complicated part is calling to me now for some reason. But anyway, another note on this awesome poem. If you look on the side there, he's got four medals for contests on this one. And it's a reminder there because I just said that to each poem so far. To the amazing poets that we hang out with around here because they're always sharing these multi-award-winning poems on the shows. Great work, Phil.
Okay, the question is, how far down, what letter were you on when you figured out that he was going alphabetically? I know where I was, but I found it when I realized.
Colliding?
Oh, no. Right.
Yeah, it was
right,
K. Mine was K.
Mine was C.
Oh, you got
really?
C? Oh, colliding I didn't realize it until about K.
Well, the first couplet, I thought it might have been a coincidence, even though he did just clearly say galactic alphabet. But when I got to colliding with conscious cosmic creation, it was like, oh, man. And then he's not only doing it A, B, C, he's trying to pull as many of the particular letter into each line as possible, which obviously is a little bit harder on, say, the Q, yet he did quietly whispering quantum quartz thoughts. So, like, I bet you it was fun. It was fun to hear.
Yeah. Cool. So those that wraps up the over.
It sure does.
Yes, that's the holdovers. Yes.
And thanks again to all four poets for understanding that we needed to move them over. I appreciate them.
So, Will, I got a question. Will Stephen K's
show?
No,
he won't. They are doing 8 to 10, and we're doing 9 to 10-ish, so he won't be able to stop by this evening, but he says hello.
Okay. All righty. Well, let's start. Do you want to do the collab first?
We can do that. Okay, this is collab number 79, which just happens to also be collab 10, number 24, and which means I need to find a special picture because the next one for next week is collab number 80. 80! Holy cow! Okay. I have to say, guys, this one was complicated. Yeah. But let's see what you think. See it? Are you ready?
Yep,
we're ready.
Okay, it's called Today's Hoarders Are Tomorrow's Antique Dealers. Here we go. In this salute to Mom and Pop, for the rubber soles they keep, then let loose. She's off to see the wizard. Gone, vamoose. Out with a sailfish named Gil into Mull of Antiques' glass, we're obtuse. Inside that Tiffany glass, see the clown that don't laugh, that's maybe singing upon the rhythm of brass. Sporting the kabuki masks through looking glass, tooting two trombones, the trumpet and saxophone cast. Forgetful things are offerings for the years we were asleep, but now Dorothy is missing and Mickey's in her station with three Santa Claus and the Wizard of Oz, and the cuckoo is dear to Christmas decoration. Polka dot rocking chair glory is an American story written by typewriter and British guards near stamps, assembling tricycle parts with pillow-shaped hearts. I can't say that word, AP, the T word.
Tutankhamun.
Okay, duh. Then they find it's Tutankhamun in kerosene lamps. Simply confused, this is all here for you, but indeed is a train with lamps and a caboose. Rocking chairs to hold kitty hairs for what? I really don't know. But a flag is near moose. Tars and cookie jars forgotten through the years are all disorganized and cast around the floor over by the moose head. Then the deer said, the Care Bear went golfing. But still, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. And poem.
There you go. I thought they came together really well.
Too uncommon. I kept looking at that, and I'm like, what the hell is that? Wow. I feel dumb now.
Tutankhamun. Oh, it's in the picture. Yeah, Tutankhamun bust is there, if you look carefully. It's where was it? I found it. Oh, yeah. It's up right in the middle, directly above the moose head. If you look carefully.
Say that again.
I see it.
Directly
next to it looks like
head.
A clown and above the
street
sign. Very cool.
Tutankhamun. Just sitting there. So.
But it was hard. It was really hard.
There were lots of things in it. But I thought you did a great job with this, Deb. I particularly liked the, it's one of the stanzas, stanza 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The Polka Dot Rocking Chair's Glory is an American Story, written by a typewriter in British Guards near Stamps. I really like that too. But the one after is even better. Indeed is a train with lamps and a caboose. Rocking chairs hold kitty hairs for what? I really don't know, but a flag is near moose. That just works out beautifully. It's very rare for me to do a I don't know sort of comment, but it worked out beautifully there. Really made it work.
I'm relieved because, like I said, it was definitely one of the harder ones to piece together.
That's kind of fun because I was of course an antique dealer at the age of 19. So it's sort of fun that sort of I was an antique dealer and I'm not now, and this talks about tomorrow's antique dealers, so it's sort of strangely reverse circular.
Way cool.
I'm muted.
Hannah, what
did
you think?
Talking to myself.
I was wondering why you kept quiet.
I don't know how she does it. I remember before the show, I told AP that I went back to the inner line rhyme a little bit more than I was recently. Mm-hmm. I was hoping it wasn't messed up, and it probably did.
But we did see the moose, the deer, Hatter, which was neat. And I was saying to Hatter before the show, Deb, that I was very, very happy that you kept my little play on words there, that antiques is glassware obtuse, because, of course, antiques glassware as in W-A-R-E, or you can have W-H-E-R-E, as we have. And so I kind of like that. So and it was perfectly sensible the way you did it.
Awesome.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't hardly believe that you're about to do the 80th one. It just seems mind blowing.
Scary.
What is?
But no, great job on that. Great job. A tough rhyme, but
thank you.
But well done. Yeah, really good job.
Well, Deb. Was or did we overlap any characters or anything? Did you mention Wizard of Oz or anything?
We did. Wizard of Oz and Moose.
A little bit. Or the fact that even though a different type, there was the glass. Yours was the looking glass.
Yeah.
His was obtuse. I believe mention of a train allowed me to use it in two different spots. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I had to go back and forth a few times, but like he had just mentioned the glassware obtuse, and then you put Tiffany glass.
Glass.
You see the clown that don't laugh, so it pulled the glass down to the next stanza. And then as presented, AP had put the ooh sound in he had caboose, vamoose, obtuse, moose, and then you had, or I added the word loose to pull that one in. So, like, my contribution to this in the first stanza is the word loose, and then somewhere I put assembling the tricycle parts to tie it into the, so, I mean, I only have a few words in this, and I think that, I mean, it worked out, I kind of liked the title.
We voted, and we agreed that you have that flexibility to do that.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Yeah. But,
I read it to try to see how I was going to put them together, I knew that no matter what, I wanted it to end with not being in Kansas anymore. That worked out well. And I think, it was a good way to close it out. So I started with that stanza and then put it aside and built the rest of them around it to lead me to there.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
Did you mention Grandma and Grandpa in the center there? Sitting in the...
I think he didn't, but you did in the salute to the mom and pop.
I didn't touch them.
Cool.
I went around them.
Easy to do.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I like pictures like that. This one was well done.
Yeah, of course. No, no, this, right, is well, good, this is always. This is a good picture for us. I knew it would be.
Yeah, if you click on the folder of them, you can see where we went from left to more, and the more there is, the more interesting the polls become. Yet you still always manage to grab enough of things the same for me to find a way to make it cohesive eventually. So I'm trying to find special for number 8.
Critter poems.
So, Hatter, your critter poem.
Yeah. Yeah.
You your critter poem. Let me have a look. Let me grab it. Now, you said on this one that you were going down the, and now let me remember, the Steven Spielberg path.
Yeah. Don't give him water after midnight type thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes,
no. Well,
I hope
you want me to read it, Patter, or are you happy to read?
No, I got new glasses. See how long these last.
Perfect. Brilliant.
Yeah, it's titled Critters. Go figure. And it goes like this. They said they would come if nobody cared, talking backwards below the stairs. Holding loosely to free the wind, waiting to start, but not knowing when. Closing to hear the shouts and cheers, watching them stalk, so cavalier. Party lions love drinking wine, but knowing that they won't. Keeping all the things they bring and changing all they don't. Curtain takes, will bend not break, see, dead, bend not break, with a finger on the trigger. Hunting tricks with stones and sticks, counting little limits of the critters. Opposing ways that end each day, pointing fingers without a clue, till against your will, they might be hunting you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So you took a little while to get into this one, Hatter.
I know.
Then you got to
edit some
love drinking wine, but knowing that they won't, keeping all the things they bring and changing all they don't, and then you were in. Like you sort of the light went on and then away it went into Hatterisms. Yeah, you just was like you were sort of trying to find the switch to put the light on and you hit that stanza and it came on.
Yeah, cool. What do you think, Deb?
Yeah.
I was going to say, even reading your own, for some reason, you seem it seemed to take you a minute to get into your rhythm.
Mm.
Closing to hear the shouts and cheers, watching them stalk to cavalier. Party lines, love drinking wine, but knowing that they won't. Why won't they? Keeping all the things they bring and changing all they don't. I like what you put in there, and at the end, opposing ways to end each day, pointing fingers without a clue. Ain't it the truth? Pointing fingers without a clue. How often, my oh my, of times stand still against your will, they might be hunting you, and you leave it with like the spooky undertones there, and it goes well with your drawing, Hatter.
But,
Thank you, spooky writer.
Yeah, no, it's like you're out there hunting critters and you found them in the third stanza. It's like, I don't know where this is going, and then bingo, there it was.
I know that final edit. I edited some stuff out, and that's what happened there.
There you go. There you go. So
I have a question. There's three on the board left. That's all. So we're in good shape time-wise. But where's yours, AP?
I don't know. I'm going to put it in now. I did it on Friday Thursday night when I was trying to stay awake after a ridiculously long day. I think like 17-hour day on Thursday. It was a crazy day. Anyway, I was on the plane trying to stay awake. place, and I wrote a poem, as you do, which is up on the board now. So if you refresh, and just for the fun of it, and I'll explain this in a tick. It's a reverse quatern. So
I see it.
The repeated line doesn't start at the top and work its way down, which is what a quatern normally does. The reverse, the same line starts at the bottom and works its way up. And so therefore it would have to be a reverse quatern. And it's about critters. And it goes like this. They scurry as they move and often have a big litter and dance within a groove. They're talking about a critter. Jolly, rarely seen to be bitter, not a varmint find in sight. They're talking about a critter, in their antics take delight. No doubt their jigs sublime are talking about a critter, food sought upon a dime, then often seen on Twitter. Are talking about a critter, small and furry, daily brew. Lucky their mum's a knitter, some jumpers wearing two. End pump.
Little onesies. Okay. Reversed.
Reversed. So the art talking about a critter is the common line, and it starts on the fourth line, not on the first. And it works its way from the third to the second until the first in a completely reverse of what quaterns are meant to do, which is where they're meant to start with the reverse line, then go to the second, third, and finish.
I see that.
So it's a reverse. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
I'm talking about a critter.
I'm talking about a critter. That's exactly right, not a varmint, you know.
Interesting. In reverse. So, Deborah, I think our friend here is showing off again.
I know. He has a tendency to do that, doesn't he, Hutter?
Yeah,
And you got to love that ending. Lucky their mom's a knitter. Some jumpers are wearing too. There's just something so cute about that, the ending, that it leaves you with a smile. Did you just invent this?
Yes.
Reverse quatern?
Yes. Well,
yes, of course you did.
A quatern is a noun form. It's just a sort of reverse. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just. It's really cool. Show off.
Thank you.
You know, I know we all had to at one time sat there and go, okay, critter, litter, kidder, blah, blah, blah. I never thought of knitter. How about you, Deb?
There you go.
No, I think that's probably why I was so taken by the ending there. And of course, it was a mom doing the knitting, so it was just like cute all the way around. And yeah, daily brew, small and bird, daily brew.
You sort of struggle when you get to the fourth stanza, Hatter, when you've got critter, because it's not a lot. I mean, litter's fine. That's a simple rhyme, and you know, sitter's out there, and you know, bitter's not too bad. But you sort of, you know. You sort of start to think, okay, where am I going to go with this, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, I went trigger. I had to go trigger.
Fine. Yeah. Anyway, it's a fine poem. You know.
I had one time quitter and up in her.
It's sort of a cute sort of poem, and so you want to sort of leave it sort of in a cute sort of form, so that's why I sort of went down that path of all the, you know, we can all remember cartoons and stuff, there's little critters, little jumpers on, sort of jumping around, and that's sort of where I went.
Yeah, but can you read it backwards?
Ooh, probably. Do you want me to try it? Can have a look.
No.
Wasn't meant to. Let's see.
I think he meant he would read it, Hutter.
Let's see. Better. Let's try. It probably doesn't quite work as well. But anyway. Some jumpers wearing two, lucky their mum's a knitter. Small and furry, daily brew, we're talking about a critter. then often seen on Twitter, Foon Sort Upon a Dime are talking about a critter, no doubt their jig sublime. In their antics take delight, are talking about a critter, not a varmint find in sight, jolly, rare seen to be bitter. Are talking about a critter, can dance within a groove, and often have a big litter. They scurry as they move. That's actually not too bad, is it? You could do
that's
it as a normal
better.
Pattern.
Yeah,
that's actually
better.
Other than the fact, yeah, I was going to say, other than the fact that it doesn't end with the knitter, I did like the way it read backwards, but.
Yeah. Doesn't work too badly backwards, to be honest. It's quite neat. I never thought of that, had I?
I also just finished writing my comment, and I wrote, looks like that show-off label is sticking.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So there you go.
Very good.
It's something I picked up on the plane. Yeah. Anyway, there you go.
Okay, so... Yeah, but we're going to tell you that we're ahead of time, aren't we? Are we pushed for now? We're about eight minutes from an hour.
Yeah, well, we have three poems left, and
yes,
we should be just fine. I put Titus on the board. He's here recording.
Why don't we read yours, and then if you got to take off before we get the last poem, then me and AP can take care of that.
Well, I'll tell you what, it looks like it's going to be just fine, but I didn't bring it, so I'm going to have to go find it. And so why don't we do Titus while I do that? That way we don't waste any time.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do Titus's, because he's got a SoundCloud. So let me play that, and that gives Deb a bit of time. So here we go. This is Titus and his poem for us today.
The troll. The ungulator tends to mount in some respect. My own superstition brings me to pursue ancestry. That's to crew uncertainty from onerous effects. To crew the hoi polloi, the study of one's past old life spirits for a forensic nature. Malfeasance, surge it would bring me to convey quinces quiet, denser the truth must be, and surrounded by myth, with alibi that is to be hidden, draggle myself into an obscurity, a forbidden life I own primeval. A meticulous junket for a trolling, not to convey reason, to exist on this nifty occasion when tales accrue. If disbelief holds virtue, gossip cannot account forensic God. Thy crucible, what penance is it? Truth or poi polloi? Tales run rampant in this search for truth. The hoi polloi have diminished proof to the films of folklore, hidden, if I am to reveal myself, a gringo, or at least a forensic, a yeast uncovered, it be one licentious nature to own, to be free from doubt that these possibilities do accrue the finagle ever teach of one's weight, if fear has to convey, unknown that is, no alibi whatsoever will convey. Beyond the confusion, ugliness becomes this hoi polloi, the mysterious tantamount. Surrounding fear will accrue. Image of the malfeas frenzy waiting. Lies if hidden a forgotten world that upon a time did once we own. To free is not to be. If beauty can afford to lose forensic, I'll not want, for I'm uglier than your being just forensic. If I could find a scratch, then a cloven hoof would convey the autonomy to show such proof. I had for you to own defiance of a nature, if scrutinized. to show these hoi polloi you've gathered unceremoniously and tethers are hidden, the evil premonitions from the devil shows they accrue. A malignancy, perhaps, an elfin trait, to aspire the accrue without margin for error. Minute fragments for a forensic show, nonetheless, by what is there, a myth will convey oddity for use under the bridge if what becomes hid. The furthest forbidden must be truth, since any hoi polloi could I ask. You burden alone? What you carry you own? The ungulator bolted. These forensic leads are hidden, but what I want to convey is, as trolls we, the hoi polloi, who in this mind I own the sole right to an accrue.
Like a performance, that's the next step in our evolution. Performance.
Yeah, it was an impressive sounded voice. Wasn't
up. Yeah, the only thing missing was my precious.
The little dollar me. Yes.
It did have that feel, didn't it? I thought it was just
it
me.
Was it.
This is a little different.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I agree. It's very theatrical, the read.
Yeah.
The imagery, the storyline, the whole deal all the way through is like, wow. Where's that one part? Unknown that is, no alibi whatsoever. What will convey beyond the confusion? Ugliness becomes this. I'm like, whoa. It was just enchanting is not the right word because there was an edge of, like you said, my precious feel to it. A malignancy, perhaps, an elfin trait to aspire the accrue. I mean, I think it, and the way he read it, I can't, that's my favorite part was the way he presented it all the way. Oh, and in the meantime, Miss Crystal Hope is here, or C-Hope. C-Hope.
Crystal.
Hi. Hello.
Crystal.
Excellent that you come to join us. Hatter, I'll say a few words about the poem.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, I need to say something about the structure, Hatter. If you look on the board, you will find that is the structure of using the final word, much less getting to the envoy at the end. Right? So the six times six and the final word being rotated through those stanzas. So it doesn't rhyme, it more has a rhythm to it. But it's actually very hard to make that follow a storyline. And it's even harder when you choose the words accrue, polloi,
yeah,
and forensic as three of your final words that you're going to keep on repeating. That is not an easy set of words, and he did it very elegantly and beautifully, Hatter. It was a poet form, this one, the Sestina, and he just made it sing and dance, and he did it in troll form, which is even more impressive.
Yeah, I noticed that well into the piece, but I didn't know what kind of structure it had, what kind of style. Very good, Deborah. Big.
Unmuted.
Hello,
Deb. Did you just say my name? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Deb.
Sure. Did you want me to read?
No, we wanted you to comment.
Oh, I thought I did. It was brilliant. Yeah, no, it's absolutely brilliant. I was just writing is I put between the form, the detail, the storyline, and the amazing off-the-hook theatrical read. This is a mega gem, and an epic write, and I'm really thrilled that he shared it with the show, and to share so many for so many shows while he's off running around the world is even more special. And it's a gold-winning poem. As I was saying earlier, that's the caliber of poets that we hang out with around here. Fantastic work.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. He knows how to put it together, that's for sure. He humbles me every time I read his. It's like, what am I doing someday?
Now, for next week, and it's my turn.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And so I was thinking laterally again, of course, and I don't think that we've done coconut before.
I do not remember coconut.
Not?
I think
and
we
so
did.
We're on coconuts, Adam.
Okay.
We're on coconuts. Lovely pear, all that stuff. Wherever you want to go.
Change that. And how do we have mine to read and Crystal can read hers and then we can do Gerald's and that's everything that's left. And mine's on the board.
Okay.
Well, I think you should read it, Deb, if that's the case.
You see it, Hatter?
Yes, I do.
Okay. It was a chance to bring my soapbox out. So that's why I grabbed this one. It's called She Guards the Ambush from Poachers. And an ambush is what they call a group of tigers. Anyway, here we go. Mist shrouds the valleys and tree lines filled with spruce, birch, and aspen trees. And the leaves on the rustled branches are in motion from the morning breeze. Plum blossom trees perfume the dawn as the sun climbs to light up the day, chasing the moon out of the landscape and coloring blue over the dark gray. She sits down to pet the water tigers, then the purrs echo from eight throats. Whiskers bookend wet black noses and black stripes mark the orange fur coats. The poachers hunt just for the fur coats, robbing moms of their cubs after birth. Those tigers die just for the blood money, leaving just 15,000 walking the earth. End poem.
They don't poach them for coats still, do they?
They poach everything, Hatter, but there's 15,000 total, and only about 5,000 of them are in the wild. They are globally listed as endangered, and they're critically endangered in some spots. They make $20 billion, with a B, a year off the illegal wildlife market. So the answer to your question, yes, they still poach.
Wow. It's a magnificent beast. Asia, part of Asia Minor or something, the tigers have been responsible to have killed and eaten 300,000 people in the last century.
Wow.
I thought that number was very high, but that's what they say.
There you go.
Yeah.
Magic, right?
You know, yeah, we should have built a back door and just left nature alone.
Yeah, it would have been handy.
Yeah,
would have been handy. This is not greatly positive news, but there's a little, and that is that in the last 7 years, the number of tigers outside captivity has gone up by a third. From 3,200 to 4,500. So actually, tigers outside captivity are making a comeback. Now, it's off a bloody low base, but we've actually got much more tigers than what we had. And the reason for that increase is a sustained increase and program in India. So we've now got roughly 1,000 more tigers in the world, and almost all of them live in India. So well done to the Indian government. Well,
thank you, India.
Yeah, Crystal Hope, are you there? Want to comment?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I love how you did, where was it? I think, oh yeah, I love the second stanza of the plum blossom trees. And then you're talking about like the sun just lighting up the day. And then you talk about the coloring over the dark gray. I thought that, I like the way it rhymed and in the way that you put it together. And I always like when you do bring something that kind of opens everyone's eyes. And that's the thing, I can't imagine, like, I know these things have cut back where they don't do as much as they used to with, like, herding animals, but at the same time, I don't even know why they ever started to begin with. I get it, we don't want to hurt humans, but I don't understand why we have to do things to animals. But yeah, I like that you brought that out in it, and then you also, like I said, brought out your colors and everything. It's a really powerful, right?
It's got a lot to do with countries with starving people that go to extremes to try to feed, and it involves black market of, you know, parts of these animals. It's a terrible reality, especially the big animals. You know, the rhinos. The black rhinos is gone now. Can't believe it.
If you actually sat down and looked at the endangered or critically endangered lists, it's a tearjerker. I mean, it's so sad, the destruction that we've caused in the world. So, so sad. All right. Not to be a pain hatter, but Crystal's brevity is on the board, and then we have Gerald's.
Okay. Anytime you're ready, Crystal.
It's literally going to take me like 0.5 seconds. When you said critters, I didn't quite know entirely, but I thought I might bring something a little funny. I used to make little fans of funny things. This is called Bird's Taxi. And if you want, you can look at the picture. "What's the holdup?" said the impatient bird. "This service is absurd. I'm not your personal chauffeur." End poem.
Now, you're lucky that it's got four lines and not three.
Okay.
I'm afraid to ask why.
That's a great image.
We don't allow haikus.
I like the image.
Yeah.
You took the image. You took the image. When in doubt, go the humorous image poem. Yeah, it makes sense. It makes complete sense with the image. I thought you were going to go the big ABBA rhyme there, Crystal. I was getting quite excited because nobody does ABBA rhyming. Not even birds on the top of eagles. And you almost went there. Almost, but just like that.
Almost.
Very close. Thank you. Very cute. Good response.
A bird's taxi. Reminds me of that song, If Heartaches Were Nickels.
Yeah. If you say so, Hatter.
Cool verses.
Deb, did you want to say some words on school space?
Yeah, Crystal, I think once you click on there and you see that picture, it was already cute, but then when I got to the picture, it was like double cute. Good job with the four little lines. And a double award, you know, a couple of awards as well, so kudos to you. Very cool.
Thank you, Deb.
Oh, that link, gotpoem.com is the picture.
Yeah, that's the link is. That's the picture.
Yeah.
I think I played it as many years ago. I couldn't attach pictures, so I might actually attach it now since I can.
You know, that photographer, he witnessed the crows lighting, the ravens and crows lighting on the bald eagles. He had witnessed it, but nobody believed him. He I think he worked for like 4 years, and then finally he got a video of a crow landing on the back of a flying bald eagle.
Wow.
Amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, the video's quite remarkable. That's pretty cool. Damn crows. okay, so where are we?
We have just Gerald's home to the data.
Gerald's. Righty.
So did you want me to play the sound card?
Yep, I got it.
Okay. Here we go. This is Gerald.
Hungry Mouse, written and read by Gerald Green. Who can blame the hardy field mouse, sitting at the bottom of a hungry food chain, for sneaking into your warm house in autumn's frost to lessen weather's strain? Its quest for food and urge to procreate keeps it moving, following its nose on its relentless journey, never straight, unaware and unconcerned of where it goes. Small droplets follow him and leave a stinky trail on silverware and bowls for cereal, in cupboards and on things however frail. You know where he has been by where they fell. And you, who sit on food chain's pinnacle, disdain the claim he has upon your wealth for shelter and to get a bellyful in evening's shadows using nature's stealth. You set a trap with cheese and deadly spring, placing it behind the stove beyond cat's reach. It is a cruel and heartless thing, appropriate for critters such as rats. While watching TV from your favorite chair, you hear a snap and feel adrenaline's rush about its sudden death. You do not care and smile as it disappears in toilet's flush. End poem.
Oh, no.
There you go. Lost in the flush. There, 1 minute, go on the next.
Heather, are you muted?
Yeah.
Heather?
Yes, I was. She was talking. Yeah, I thought I remembered this. And then I see down there that I commented a year ago. So, yeah, it's, you know, it makes it sound just morbid that you set traps out to rid your house of rats. Poor little guys. Didn't have a chance. And you smile, rocking in a chair. Reality sets in. It's like anything else. I've battled ants my whole life, and I just got sick and tired of it. I got very good at it. I know what to use. But like in Australia, you guys had that overrun of rats. Or the mice.
Yeah, mice. Plagues of mice. Yeah.
Damn, I thought there was videos of that. And then stories like Lennon and then the ants. So, he has been constantly battling critters. Yeah, thank you, Jerry. Oh, you want to make a comment?
Can I have a few words, Adam?
Oh, yeah, go ahead, AP, I'm sorry.
I think Gerald's going to get into a world of trouble for this. His partner's going to read this, and she's going to get really upset, and he's going to have to change some of these words. Any money. Gerald, I've been reading your comments. I know it's going to happen. I wouldn't. I'd just save it. So you've changed another name on it. Just keep this one there because this one's really funny and I think it's really worth having. So just leave it alone.
Well isn't it?
Thanks.
Isn't it funny it's that they call on us to get rid of the critters, but they don't like the way they do it?
No. I can tell. There's gonna be tension about this one. I can tell. Sagely, he not.
You got your back, Jerry.
Yeah, we have. We have, yep. Jared. Don't change the poem. End comment.
Stand strong. Yeah, Hope, you want to comment?
Oh, yeah. I'm just like the whole time we're reading it, I like the way that he was reading it. I knew something was going to happen, but I didn't expect the part of it disappears in a toilet's flush. I have never in my life flushed a mouse down the toilet. I've never done it. Like, I have found a lot of dead rats and dead mice, but not like that. I usually pick it up some way with like a dustpan or something like that, throw it out,
mm-hmm.
and, like, outside, usually. Though I think the weirdest one of all was my mom and I once knew we had a mouse and we didn't know where it was, but we knew that it probably would go under the stove. So we had those little sticky traps under the stove.
Mm-hmm.
And one day it apparently found its way under the stove and we didn't know it. And all day long, all we heard was a squeak noise all day. And we were like, where is that coming from? What is that? We didn't. Like, didn't dawn on us to think that, oh, the mouse fell on this way on this sticky trap. But all day, we just heard squeak all day long. And then finally, we turned, and it was on the little thing. And it was still alive, so we just let it go outside. But I couldn't. But no, I do think what he wrote is pretty clever, though. And it just kind of brought back that thought. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I was on Chicken Mountain, we had a rat problem being in the compounds. Besides letting the terriers come over and the rat dogs come over, they're incredible to watch. But I would go out at night with a flashlight, powerful flashlight, and a pellet gun. And from one bin to the other back of the bin, there was a little runny area that they had holes that they would come out at night. So I sat there and waited for them to get busy and start moving around. Well, I had shot about two times at some rats. And then I saw these red eyes looking at me. That's what the light brings back is red. So these eyes are looking at me, and This pellet gun I have is CO2. It's very powerful, and I plunked one in him, and he didn't move. He's still staring at me. So I hit him again, and thinking, man, I might be shooting low, I guess, you know. And I know I'm hitting it. I put four pellets in. That rat didn't move. Then it stood up on its back. Thing looked like a beaver. I packed my things and went back inside.
Yes, inside. They get the hell out of there at that point, huh?
He took four pellets, yeah.
I'd get the armor-piercing shot out if I was you, but no, I'd get the hell out of there.
I was just putting a picture on the chat wall of how angry the mouse is going to be when he climbs back out of the bowl.
Yeah, out again. Head up. If you want a quick one, this is completely lateral, but bear with me. In all of these documentaries, what you have is you often have a critter and you have something chasing it, yeah, like a snake or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Up until about 10, 20 years ago, you couldn't actually get photos of this guy, this Australian who worked with David Attenborough, developed a system to actually put a critter and the thing that was chasing it in focus at the same time, even though they were in different places. He did a whole lens thing called the Fraser lens. And so that's why when we watch nature documentaries these days, we can see things of different sizes and different places in the same focus at the same time.
Cool.
Okay, I got part of that. You say they, in the documentaries, when they're filming the animals, feed
Yeah, when the film, yeah. You have two, you've basically got a camera that's got two different focal lengths that you can film at the same time.
Is that the photographer that you shared on the board, AP?
Yeah, that's Jim Frazier. It's the Frazier lens, yeah.
Very cool.
Okay, bye, Joy.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Joy.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Got out to play. All right. Well, hey, I want to thank everybody for this evening. Crystal, thanks for stopping by. Appreciate it. And everybody that's going to listen, everybody that participated, giving us their poems, Jerry Green, Phil the Poet, Laughing Soul, Crystal, thank you.
Titus.
Red, AP, Titus, the great piece, performance art, and I'm missing somebody. I didn't recognize the poet at first.
Deb.
Marksman?
Yeah, Marksman.
Marksman, that's right.
That's what it was.
Didn't say Marksman.
Yeah, and we'll be here next week. A prompt will be coconuts.
Coconuts.
Yeah. Yep. So, Deb,
on a side note, Heather, I looked up the menu for the place that AP's going to eat, and I was very relieved to find out that a bug is actually a lobster. Just saying.
Balmain bug. Yes. Yeah, they're little lobsters. Mm-hmm. A little crayfish.
I saw bugs and I thought, ew, what kind of restaurant is he taking little A to? And then I looked up what it was.
No. Bugs, crayfish. Just slice them in half, grill them. Yeah, really neat.
Yeah,
Yeah,
we got a crossfish festival every year on the river nearby. They say, well, I can't say it on the air.
No,
you can't. Well, I don't think I should. So, thank you, AP. Deborah,
pleasure,
always
Adam.
A pleasure. Crystal, have
a
wonderful night. Yep. And so is Steven's, their show's ending now too, also?
They're just did or just about to end as well. It was Sky's night. They were doing The Legend of Grayskull. But AP, have an amazing time with your daughter.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Get a video if you can. Yeah, get a video if you can. They allow you. Well, throwing food at you. If they're throwing food at you, maybe you ought to have your hands ready.
It's a little harder if they're throwing food at you, that's all. That's you know.
Yeah.
We'll see how we go.
Okay. All right, Ed. Thank you, everybody.
Great show, guys.
So, till next week, let's see. We got ahead, we have Monday picture prompt or a personal prompt from Deborah Lee. Tuesday. Is that sweet?
Tuesday's my sweet. Roaring 20s.
And then Wednesday, the music?
It is.
We're going to do The Doors Wednesday, Saturday music. So
sounds like a plan. And
everybody.
I put Monday's topic on the chat wall so you can pick your own.
Yeah. And as Deborah would say, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. We'll see you guys next week.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Love and respect, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Did you want to finish with a song, Hatter, or not?
Deb's sort of rushing out. I think she's got someplace to be.
Okay.
I can stay for
a
song.
Oh, yeah,
I can.
Okay, yeah.
I will do a short song, Hatter, in that case. You ready?
Yeah, okay.
It's about colors. Here we go.
It's not that easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves. When I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that. It's not that easy being green. It seems you blend in with so many other ordinary things, and people tend to pass you over, 'cause you're not standing out like flashy sparkles in the water or stars in the sky. But green's the color of spring, and green can be cool and friendly like. And green could be big like an ocean, or important like a mountain, or tall like a tree. When green is all there is to be, it could make you wonder why, but why wonder, why wonder? I'm green, and it'll do fine, and it's beautiful, and I think it's what I want to be.
So what's green and smells like blue paint?
Good question, Adam.
What?
Green paint. Yeah, okay. You have a great evening.
Thanks, Adam.
You too.
See you guys. Thanks,
nice guys.
Have a good one. Bye, everybody.